Good evening. I entitled tonight's year, How to Deal with Mixed Messages, or the inability to deal with mixed messages, and how sometimes it could go terribly awry. And the parasha begins where we left off at the end of last week, when Yaakov is leaving Lavan. And at this point in time, it says, Vayifku bo malachei Elohim, vayomi Yaakov, kasher ro'o machane Elohim zeh, vayikro shem ha-makom ahu machanoyim. And there's the machlokis, whether those were malachim in reality or malachim mamish or not. There's differences of opinion. Most actually at the end of the parasha hold that these were malachim mamish. The problem comes in when we begin the next parasha, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim. And of course, many of the mafarshim say that it was malachim mamish, and these were the same malachim that, since they were here at this point in time, seemingly to help Yaakov. Yaakov thought perhaps this would be the right time to take these people and send them to see Esau and tell him what Yaakov wanted to do to avoid an unhappy confrontation that might lead to some altercation in any way, shape, or form. Esau trying to take revenge. And he's asking God for help. But of course, as we know, we see in the beginning of the parasha, God doesn't answer Yaakov in any way, shape, or form, which we'll see how God actually does answer him in some shape or form. But we've heard the expression so many times, we're told, Maisa Ava Simila Bonin. And what I mean by that is simply that we've gone through history from the time of Lech Lecha and Vayera, Chayisora, Toldos, Vayetze, and every time we have a problem and we watch Abraham deal with his Nisyonos, Yitzhak deal with his, and Yaakov obviously having the first of his few, which were terrible things. Now, how does one make a decision? And we were looking towards the idea of making the decision based on what your parents have done before you, especially when somebody of the nature of Yaakov, who is a Navi, and he had his first visitation in last week's parasha. And, of course, growing up in the house of Yitzchak, he understands that Yitzchak and Abraham, who we saw for the first 15 years of his life, are very special people, and he knows that since they have God's ears, that they have communication, and he understands that everything that they do has purpose and is done with God's approval. Which becomes a problem because we see when I say about mixed messages, the Torah, the Gemara points out, the Torah doesn't tell us about Avraham's problem with the Kivshon Ha'esh because it doesn't want, or breaking the idols. These things are not mentioned in the Chumash at all because it doesn't want to give us the impression that it's okay to put your life in danger without it happening to you, to generate the situation, to make it happen, to cause a problem. We're not asked to do that, and God doesn't want you to do it. So we have this problem of Ein Sum Kein Alanes as well. But what does that really mean? Does that mean that we have to defend ourselves and hope for the best, and at that point Ein Sum Kein Alanes, or run away and live to fight another day and not do anything and let God step in even if your life is in danger and not do anything, and at that point in time let God deal with the situation? But once again, perhaps one should, you know, somebody should attempt to do something for you because ain't some canal on a. So which way does it go? And Yaakov has had to deal with these confrontations with Esav, then with Lavan, and we see all the things that have happened from the beginning of Avraham. And we see that, of course, we're told in the Medrash about, as I mentioned, about Avraham with the Kivshon Ha'esh. But what we know from the Chumash is at the beginning of Lech Lecha, Avraham sets out for, he goes to Eretz Yisrael, and immediately or shortly thereafter, there's a famine, and he decides that the time has come in some Chilanes, and therefore he doesn't know what God's plan is, and therefore, not to say he doesn't have faith enough in God, but he decides to take the matter into his own hands and go down to Mitzrayim. And of course, Sarah is taken. They try to avoid a confrontation again by saying he's his sister. But at this time, so Yaakov, looking back on this story that he hears from his grandfather, Avram was trying to avoid a confrontation with Paro, needing food and hoping that God would come to his rescue, but not banking on it. But nevertheless, of course, God does. The same thing happens to Yitzhak. But in between, we see that after, even though Rivka is taken as well by Avimelech, and God once again steps in, and why maybe one would think that they should not have put themselves into that situation in the first place. So do we say, ain't so al hanes, or how do we deal with it? How do we justify the scenario? But of course, as I said, the main part is that you don't lose your faith when all these things happen, regardless of the outcome. But we move on, and we see that even Abraham, after he does that, there's something very interesting that happens with Lech Lecha. And we see that Lot is taken captive by Sodom. And while at one point Avram is trying to avoid confrontation, over here when Lot, his nephew, is taken and he feels responsible for Lot, when Lot is taken captive, he takes 318 men, even though it doesn't say that. And yes, it does. It says 318 men, and he takes them, and he goes, almost a supernatural event takes place, and he defeats with 318 soldiers these kings, and he brings back, he extracts Lot from Sodom, extracts Lot from the kings, and he brings them back, and it's a tremendous miracle, and that's why the Torah tells God came to his aid. Now, how do we deal with that? How do we look at that? And this is what Yaakov is constantly having to deal with. Of course, Yitzhak on the Akedah, but the same thing happens to Yitzhak, and God steps in. So when do we react, and how do we react? And we see at the end of the parasha of Toldos, when Yitzhak goes ahead to give the brachas, and Yaakov is not willing to do much, but Rivka steps in, and she goes ahead, and they trick Esau, and they trick Yitzhak, rather, and they get the bracha from Esau. And when Esau comes in and says, I'm here for my bracha, and Yitzhak's reaction is very interesting. The word usage is, it says, Ba'achicha bir mirma. And that's the operative word. He came in stealthily, underhandedly, and he stole the bracha. Yitzhak makes that pronouncement. One might think that maybe he should have couched it another way. And just like Yaakov refused to put his mother and say, I did what mommy told me, Yitzhak maybe should have taken the blame at this point in time. He should have said, oh, well, I was fooled. It's not his fault. I should have known better. But he puts it squarely on Yaakov's shoulders, and now Yaakov is forced to run away. And Yitzhak wants, perhaps he wants Yaakov to understand that all actions have repercussions, and he has to deal with the problem that he made for himself. And he runs away to Laban. Of course, Laban tricks him, and again, he says, V'lama rimi sani, he says to Laban. And this is becoming a situation again, and when he runs away from Laban, we discussed last week what their confrontation was like. Very good. But now that he's getting over this case with Laban, he avoided a, he had a confrontation, but in between, right before he has this confrontation with Laban, something else happens here, very interestingly enough. Although God does not communicate with Yaakov and saying, I'm tired of telling you that if I will not desert you. I will make sure that you get home in safe, you get home safely. I'll give you safe contact home. And Yaakov is very disturbed. He doesn't understand what's going to happen over here. He thinks possibly, and it disturbs him, and that's why he said, Vayiro Yaakov mi'od vayetzelo. It bothered him that he was still disturbed. He was still afraid, and he knew that God had said to him that he will return him, say, give him safe conduct home. But of course, Yaakov perhaps thinks that maybe on one hand that he will get safe conduct, but what about my wife and children? That wasn't necessarily part of the deal. I don't know. But the fact remains, he's having no communication, and Yaakov desperately seeks a little communication from Yitzhak to think that, communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will save him, but nothing is forthcoming. But the night before he has his confrontation with Esau, It says, Vayeyavek Yishimo. What God has in mind for him is, Sayako, sometimes you have to stand up for yourself. And I want to give confidence. What is the Vayeyavek Yishimo? What is the outgrowth of that? He wants Yaakov to understand that here it is, you had an altercation with a malach, and yet you were able to survive. You should not be afraid. This is a confidence builder. That's what God wants from Yaakov, to have this adrenaline rush of confidence and know that God will always be on his side and will give him safe conduct, obviously not only for him, but for the rest of his family as well. But he is unsure what to do. And we could think of one thing when he puts Esav off, and we know directly after this situation, we have the Maisa Dina, which is the crux of the matter over here that we're getting to. Dina is abducted. One question we could ask that's really a very interesting question is, had he not pushed Esav off, and had he marched with Esav for a while and stayed close to him, of course he doesn't want the influence of that he had, the children had to deal with the influence of Lavan, and he doesn't want to have the influence of Esav as well. He wants to be able to bring up his children without outside influences. He wants them to be brought up as his forefathers. But what is the influence of his forefathers? Because we see there are mixed signals. On one hand, Avraham tries to avoid confrontation, yet on the other hand, he goes after Lot. Yitzchak tries to avoid confrontation as well, and because he has reached the pinnacle of belief system by willing to sacrifice his own life willingly, there's nothing more for him to prove, and therefore he expects probably everybody else to be on his level of emunah, which is certainly beyond the scope of reality to the average person or to most anybody at all. And now Yaakov is thinking about all the things that have happened to his father and grandfather, and he is conflicted. He doesn't know for sure what to do. But when they come home, even after this confidence builder, perhaps if Esav was still marching with him, we could ask ourselves, this never would have happened. If Esav and his 400 men were still marching along with Yaakov, maybe Shechem would not have done it. Of course, the question is asked, how it says, Bateseidino Baslayar Sher Yoldol Yaakov, and this is a very interesting thought process. How did Shechem in the first place get to meet her? And one of the Mefarshim makes an interesting point over here that Yaakov, Vaiven Lobayis, and where did he get the land? The land was owned by other people, and he's from Shechem. And he tried to make a deal with Shechem, and he invites him into the house to sit down, to haggle out a deal, to say, where are we going to? I want to rent. I'm not going to stay here a long time. I'm on my way home. And Shechem, they were told by, you know, that he says, no, you can't rent. You have to either buy the land or that's it. And he goes ahead and buys the land. But during all this haggling with Shechem being there, at that point in time, one might surmise that that's when he met Dina for the first time. And then when she was finally out on her own, because she had no sisters, and she wants to see how other livros bivnosar, she wanted to see how other girls live. Okay. And then Shechem abducts her. And it's very interesting. And of course, we get into the whole discussion, what does Yaakov do now? And it says, Ve'echarish Yaakov, Ve'yaakov shema ki timei esdina bito, Ve'echarish Yaakov adawam. And he's waiting for his other sons to come home from the field and find out. And of course, the interesting thing is we see when the other story is, when the story comes to a close, and they take Dina, they extract Dina, and they take her back home, it says, that's a very interesting turn of a phrase, because it should say, our sister, Yaakov, wasn't there with this Maisa. It was only Shimon and Levi. We're going to take our sister, not our daughter. And that's a sidelight. But the fact is, they felt responsible because they were her protector. And it's since they felt Shimon and Levi being their big brother, and they were felt responsible for taking care of their child, Yaakov is already 100 years old. And Shimon and Levi are, at this point in time, we're told, at least 13 or 14 years old. Maybe Shimon is a few months older than Levi, obviously at least 9 months, perhaps. But nevertheless, they're in that age group. It says Ishar Bo, so we know that are at least 13 years old. But they make a decision, and it says Bir Mirma Vayadaberu. Once again, it uses the word Bir Mirma. But we have to realize over here there seems to be a difference of opinion. Yaakov is so aggravated over the actions of Shimon and Levi. But we might ask ourselves, if somebody would try to abduct somebody who was taken hostage in the White House, well, you'd have to kill the Secret Service who are around there. You couldn't just get in. And that's the same thing. To get at their leader, one would have to kill all the people that are guarding Shem himself. You couldn't just do it on your own. That would require tremendous mayhem. How do we deal with hostages? And that's really the point. Do we make a show of force, or do we cower in the background? These are things that we don't do. Is it Maisa Avos similar bonim? And what is Maisa Avos? And is Ein Somchin Al Anes? How do we deal with the situation? Do we go headlong first into the situation? And we see that they're haggling back and forth. They're trying to make a deal, Shem. But let's face it, the main point over here is during the entire time that the deal is going, that they're discussing the hostage situation with Dina, they didn't send her home. They kept her hostage. And they're trying to make a deal. And they make it sound like, you know, that we'll marry each other. Doesn't that sound very friendly? It sounds very friendly. We could claim him a mitanu. This is, they want to be our friends. We could, you know, Espinosa, you will marry your daughters will marry our sons, and vice versa. We could be friends. And, of course, they have an ulterior motive to get a hold of Yaakov's financial bank books. And these are the problems. We don't know what is on their mind. Shimon and Levi take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and they realize that this is the story. And even though the story ends with Vayargu Kol Zohar, after 3 days from when the story began, after the Bris Milah, they fool them in. It says Bir Mirma Vayadaberu. Once again, these things happen Bir Mirma. And this is the underhanded. The same way they said Daddy fooled Esau, it worked out. Lavan fooled Yaakov, our father Yaakov. Daddy in turn got it. And maybe that's the way we deal. But then again, Avraham went ahead and to extricate Lot, to go save Lot, he went ahead. And we don't know how many people he killed, it doesn't tell us, but he was able to get Lot. We have to assume that he and his 318 men caused, there was a lot of people, a lot of people die in those battles. It would be inevitable for that to happen. So which way do we go? And as we see, we know that their answer is, the Parsha ends, this story ends with Vayomru, Hakosono Yaseh Hakosenu. The idea is, does our faith in God, and does God want us to do something here, or does he want us to sit back on our haunches and wait for God to take shape? Or do we say that God helps those who help themselves? You go in there, and then maybe God will save the hostage situation, that they go in there and they'll be able to save Dina unharmed. Perhaps they'll decide that this is the end when they see they're all being killed, and they take Dina down with them. Isn't that what happens logically? We're at a conundrum. And this is obviously what goes on in the world today. We've seen it constantly over the last 30, 40, 60 years already, since hijackings began, since all these things began. Unfortunately, it happens too many times. This time, there's too many people involved. How do we react? We like to go back and say Maisa Avos Siman Labanan, but what is the Maisa Avos? Is it to stay back, or is it to attack and hope for the best? Or we say Ein Somchin Al Anes, or maybe Ein Somchin Al Anes means sitting back and doing nothing, and hopefully that God will save the hostages and all these things, because we know that we've had enough lessons from the hostage situation today. It's a very difficult situation. We here in America, we could pray, we do all what we have to do. We say Tillim and we protest, but we have to continue to do it. And we have to daven with that kavana, and hopefully, and perhaps God will give guidance to the Israeli soldiers, to the Israeli government to handle this properly. And they could differentiate between Ein Som Chol Al Hanes and Maisa Avos Simla Bonim. Hopefully God gives us the right decision to make at the right time so that we can bring home all our hostages safely in the same way that Dina was brought home safely by Shimon and Levi, acting as though they did, even though Yaakov was dismayed at the whole situation, the way it was handled. Vani Misei Miskorven Eshu Alai V'Yikuni, but it never happened. Perhaps if we took that tack, that is when God will say, I see that you're willing to put your life on the line, and therefore I will come to your aid. These are the very difficult decisions. How we make it is we can only help for God's guidance, and hopefully it works out to the best of our abilities and the way that God wants it to happen. Obviously it will. Have a good week, and may all the hostages come home safely, and there's a long road ahead. May it come to a swift conclusion. Thank you, and have a good week.